And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I'm coming to you from an undisclosed location in sunny Florida where people are actually free not to wear masks. In fact, I've been to events down here and there was a great big old sign on the invitation saying, no mask wearing required. I thought, oh, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Oh boy, it feels good, folks. It feels good. I hope you're having a great day today, and I'm so glad to be with you. I enjoy talking to you when I'm traveling because I kind of get a little bit of different perspective, and I'm talking to different people, and you know, various things are happening on the road that sometimes inspire what I want to say. In this case, however, I do have some breaking news for you. Y'all remember, I think it was, yesterday? I introduced this on Monday. On Monday, I said that I'd had the antibody test. I'm waiting for the results. I don't have them yet. I'm waiting for the results because I've read articles. One was by the National Institutes of Health. The other, I cited Nicole Sapphire, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, who's a regular contributor on Fox, who said basically, if you have had the disease and you have the antibodies, it is as effective or more effective than in some cases as the vaccine. So I didn't just make that up out of whole cloth. I got that from that article, which came out, I think, a couple months ago, which indicated that 8 months out, people were still immune who had had the disease and still had the antibodies. And they thought that it likely is permanent, likely lifetime, because there's a memory mechanism apparently in the immune system so that when it's exposed to something, even when the disease is not invading your body and it's not making the antibodies to fight a disease, it has a memory of the disease. So if anything tries to invade your body that says to your immune system, that's the disease, it has these memory cells that immediately begin to produce a defense. Having said all of that, having shared all of that, I just learned yesterday, yesterday, that YouTube has banned me, suspended me. They have said, they call this a first strike. They said I got a warning back in 2020, which I'm not aware of, but they said I was warned back in 2020 for the things that I was saying. And this time they have suspended me, saying that I was giving medical misinformation. Now, folks, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. This is the totalitarian culture that we're now living in. And again, folks, which is why I am so grateful to God, not just for me, because I'm a talk show host on American Family Radio, but for the country that we've got American Family Radio, where you can say things that you probably can't say anywhere else, not because they're not true, not because they're not worthy of discussion and debate, but because these sold out leftists, these little petty tyrants, simply don't want anybody saying anything that doesn't agree with their worldview or their perspective. Now, what I just said to you, and I had my staff review what I said. I have not said anything that I'm ashamed of or that I have to apologize for. That's, oh, that was misleading. I shouldn't have said that. I simply shared information. I said that I got emails, one from a pharmaceutical expert saying it may well be that the vaccine undermines your own natural immune system if you've already had the disease. Now, that makes logical sense to me Because after all, if your body is already fighting it and then you substitute that for something else, it doesn't necessarily enhance what your body is doing. It may well be a substitute for what your body is doing. And the substitute may not be as effective as your body's own immune system. I mean, that makes sense. But let's just say, folks, just for the sake of discussion and argument, okay? Let's just say that everything I just said with you, to you, absolutely wrong, absolutely false. I mean, you know, just wrong, okay? Let's just assume that. That's not true, but let's just assume it is. Here's what underlies their banning me. They think people are so stupid that anything somebody like me might say on the radio suddenly leads people to turn off their own brains and just act like automatons. We heard E.W. Jackson say such and such, and we're now going to do such and such because after all, we've heard. I mean, nobody thinks that way. I mean, and look, I appreciate the compliments I get. I appreciate that the program encourages you all and you like it. Obviously, I prefer that than that you don't. But I know that none of you thinks that everything I say should simply be taken and acted on without any discussion, without any question, without you wanting to verify anything. Particularly, I mean, if I came on and said, you don't need to see a doctor, I'm giving you medical advice. Now, which of you would say, well, I don't need to see a doctor because Bishop Jackson said he's giving me a medical advice. I think all of you would say, yeah, that's nice, but he's not a doctor. So, you know, but these leftists have the superior attitude that says, oh, they can assess things, of course, because they're better than the rest of us. They can assess things. They can analyze things. But the rest of you poor dolts, you poor mentally and intellectually incapacitated people are incapable of deciding what information is accurate or worthy or needs verification. And therefore, they, the little petty tyrants that run these big tech companies, must determine what your little innocent ears can hear. Because after all, if you hear, quote unquote, medical misinformation coming from the likes of Bishop E.W. Jackson, you might go out and do something crazy. Because after all, you don't think for yourself. That's their attitude toward our fellow citizens. That's it toward their fellow citizens. Because to tell you the truth, folks, this is part of the problem. These people are not really Americans. I mean, of course, they're legally Americans. And I know some left-wing blogs, he said they're not Americans. You know what I mean, okay? They're not Americans in the sense that they share our values. They have the best interests of our country at heart. They acknowledge our inherent God-given freedoms, and they respect those and value those and uphold those. They're not Americans in that sense. They have a Marxist worldview. And you know how you can tell? Because most of them are far more inclined to cooperate with communist China than they are to cooperate with their own country. Think about that. Because that's their orientation. That's where they're coming from. They're willing to cooperate with China, monitoring all of its citizens. Because after all, these poor people need to be monitored. I think they'd love to monitor all of us too. In fact, some people think they already are through these phones. But so I am officially suspended from YouTube. I'll keep you posted on that, but I'm honored by it. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
If you pay people for not working, then people aren't likely to go out and look for work. Most of us would think that's basic common sense. But apparently that eluded so many in Congress, except for a few senators like Ben Sasse and Lindsey Graham. Months ago, they warned that providing high unemployment benefits to those out of work would create a disincentive. 2 weeks ago, the April jobs report lamented that there were only 266,000 jobs created in the month. Economists had been predicting more than 1 million jobs would be created in April. At the time, the president had difficulty explaining why so few jobs were created, but he was sure that it was Trump's fault. In fact, he made the unbelievable claim that there were no measurable data that people weren't looking for jobs because it pays more not to work. You know, the president needs to get out more and talk to employers trying to do all they can to hire people for positions readily available. One article did a quick calculation and concluded that workers could get nearly $16 an hour by staying home. That is more than double the federal minimum wage. Bank of America estimated that anyone making less than $32,000 or less would be better off staying on unemployment than going back to work. More than a week ago, Senator Ben Sasse called this a clear policy failure at work. There are 7.4 million jobs open in the United States, but fewer than 300,000 people found work. Senator Tim Scott concluded that Democrats are disincentivizing work, pushing billions of wasteful spending, and threatening major tax hikes. Sadly, the President and Congress don't seem interested in changing course. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Do you love God? Many people say they do, but as we've learned in the previous programs, they can't possibly love God because they don't either know God's love through Jesus Christ, don't know what God loves, or refuse to obey what God commands. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. In 1 Kings 10:9, for instance, even the Queen of Sheba recognized what God loves when she told Solomon, because Jehovah God loved Israel forever. You see, God loves Israel, his people, the Jews, his capital city, Jerusalem. God loves his covenant people with a love that only God can love. Now, how about you? Do you love Israel, his people, and his city? If you love God, you'll love what and who he loves. Will you join with us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV and demonstrate your love for God by loving and defending what God says he loves eternally? Let us know at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Brian Fisher here. 5 Oregon counties vote to secede from Oregon and join Idaho. The mayor of Chicago refuses to do any interviews with white people. That's racism straight up. Joe Biden wants you and me to pay for attorneys for illegal alien migrants, and the Missouri Senate discriminates against Rush Limbaugh even after he's dead. All that and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, folks, let me just continue this for a couple minutes, and I want to introduce some other issues, and I'll probably get to your calls in the next segment. Look, I know that the argument that's most often brought up is, well, these are private companies. They can do what they want to do. That's not true, folks. They are not private companies. They're simply not. In this sense, first of all, they operate under the protection of Section 230 of the, I think it's the Communications Act, which means that they are shielded from liability as neutral platforms, but they're not neutral platforms. They are getting the benefit of a law that protects them, but they are not adhering to the law as they describe themselves to be. When you kick people off the air because you don't agree with their position, you're not a neutral platform. You are a propaganda platform. You only want things on that agree with your particular perspective. And you know, it's amazing with the millions, probably billions at this point of people that they have, that they can identify someone like me and take action against me, which just goes to show how pernicious their ability to monitor people is. So they're not a neutral platform. But the other thing is, let's face it, they are an arm of the state. They are a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. It is that plain and simple. And I think anybody who denies that is just not looking at reality. These people represent the Democrat Party. And as such, they really are in very close connection to the entire apparatus of this administration and all of its regulatory and legal and policy prescriptions. They're in support of it all. So to call them, they're private companies. No, they are not. They're not private companies, not in the sense in which that phrase can be properly understood. And therefore, in my view, they should be broken up. They are in antitrust violation. I think they are colluding with one another. It clearly, even if they're not explicitly colluding, they are so in sync ideologically that they are in cooperation with one another de facto, if not de jure. In other words, wink, wink, nod, nod. We don't need to talk. We know what we need to do. Shut these conservatives down. Shut these Christians down. And make sure that we advance any left-wing cause we agree with. So they've got to be broken up, in my view. And now that's not going to happen with the Biden administration because, here again, they work for the Biden administration. They've got the same love of Marxism. They've got the same love of collectivism. They've got the same hatred for America. I said earlier, I don't even think of them as American citizens. I mean, I know legally they are, but they don't share our values. They don't share our worldview. They don't share respect for our Constitution. They don't share respect for our way of life. They clearly don't share respect for the First Amendment. And I just dare say they don't have respect for any of the human rights that Americans understand to be God-given because they don't believe in God for the most part. So something's got to be done about these folks. I'm not just saying that because of the impact it has on me personally, but I'm concerned about the impact it has on our country long term. As far as I'm concerned, these people are oligarchs. They're not business people. They're oligarchs. And I think they'd love to try to run the country, well, of course, in concert with George Soros and the Democrat Party. So I'd be curious to know when we start taking your calls, I'd be curious to know what you think about that. Well, look, on to some good news, okay? The good news is, oh, and by the way, did you know that Facebook blocked the life site, the pro-life site? They blocked them, claiming that they were giving out medical misinformation? Yeah. I mean, see, this is what I mean. These people are out of control. And they really think they're God, to tell you the truth. They really do. They've got a God complex. Here it is. LifeSite News has been taken down by Facebook permanently. Permanently banned. And LifeSite News is a pro-life organization. Guess who's not banned? Media Matters, GLAAD, the Gay Lesbian Alliance, something or other defense, the Human Rights Campaign, another homosexual radical group, NARAL, none of that, they're not banned. And they're advocating killing children even after they're born. If it was an intended abortion, they support that view. They're not banned. Selling body parts, they're not banned. But LifeSite News is banned. So this is not just about me. This is about what is good for our country, and this stuff is not good for the United States of America. We're supposed to have robust discussion, debate, hear differing points of views. That's the thing. And see, in order to let that happen, you've also got to believe, as I think our founding fathers believed, that each individual is created by God and capable of making their own choices, assessing information, analyzing data and facts, and deciding what they think is best for them. You don't need the heavy hand of government or its surrogates in the person of Google or Facebook or Twitter or anybody else to tell you, oh, no, 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 no. You can't think that, you can't say that, and you can't hear that. Well, at any rate, here's some good news. The Supreme Court has struck down these warrantless searches under these red flag laws? You know, somebody reports you, oh, that person's out of control. That person may be a danger to themselves and others. And the police then have claimed that they can go into your house, or at least policymakers have claimed, the police can then go into your house, search your house, and take your guns away because somebody reported you. The Supreme Court said, no, you can't. You've got to have a warrant for that. You've got to go convince the judge that this person is in fact a danger to himself and others. It's going to take more than a report from somebody who's decided they're out to get you to just go tell the police, oh, you know that E.W. Jackson. Oh, wow, watch him. He's one of those right-wing crazies. You can't let him have guns. Or insert your own name in there. And then suddenly the police show up to your home because they're following orders, and they're going to search your house, and they don't need a warrant. No, 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 no. Caniglia versus Strom, the Supreme Court said you can't conduct warrantless searches for guns using a so-called community caretaking function. Well, this person may be a danger to the community. They haven't done anything wrong, but we're going to go collect their guns. And here again, police officers in touch with the Constitution will know better than that. But thank God the Supreme Court, and folks, we may be thanking God for a long time to come for the administration of President Trump, because he appointed three conservative, originalist, textualist, constitutionalist Supreme Court justices who may well help us come back to the actual text of the Constitution rather than their own perverse social engineering vision for where they think the country ought to go. That's how we have abortion on demand. That's how we got homosexual marriage. Not because the people decided, not because we voted, because when we were voting, guess how the vote was going? Against homosexuality. Because again, the American people have common sense and they know that there's nothing good or healthy about that. They know it. And they were voting against it in large numbers. I think we had 21 states, I think it was 21 states that had already had constitutional amendments defining marriage as a union between one man and one woman when Obergefell came down telling us that, oh no, the Supreme Court has decided that all of those constitutional amendments in states are invalid. Well, we've got a Supreme Court that's made a sound decision protecting our Second Amendment rights, and we can certainly celebrate that. Thank God for Donald Trump and the appointments that he made to the United States Supreme Court, because those appointments may protect us for a long time to come. So that's some good news. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. As they say, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. I love it. Okay. You all realize, don't you, that this administration, here again, and folks, I don't say this lightly, but you know, the Biden administration may be worse than the Obama administration. And that's not giving Obama any credit, mind you. It's just that he may not have felt that he could go as far as he wanted to go. Whereas Joe Biden can get up there with a little grandfatherly style and act like he's Mr. Moderate, but the man is about as radical as it gets. He really is. So the Pentagon is now moving in the direction of purging the military of what it calls right-wing extremists. What is a right-wing extremist from these leftist point of view? Well, I am. Our network is. If you believe in God, if you believe the Bible, if you believe in religious liberty under the First Amendment, if you believe in the Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms, if you believe that you ought to protect our country first and defend our country first and secure our country first and look out for our country first, if you believe that America is an exceptional nation and a providential nation, if you believe that we're a great country, woo, you might be a right-wing crazy extremist. We got to get rid of you. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. Let me tell you a true story. Once there was a church that wanted to construct a new building. Inquiring around as to who they could get to do a certain job in that construction, they were given the name of a certain man. The officials of the church called the gentleman, asked him if he could do the job, and settled on a price. When the work had gone far enough for this man to come and begin his job, the church officials had to call him about 3 times to get the man to the construction site. He held up progress for about 2 or 3 days, and after he got to the site and got on the job, he was met by the church minister. The minister remembered meeting the gentleman before at a downtown store and remembered that the man had impressed him as having an excellent knowledge of the Bible. Upon recognizing the man, the minister was sure that the church had gotten the best man for the job. After he had finished with this first part of the job, he sent the church a bill. The bill was considerably higher than the amount that had been agreed upon, but the church said nothing and paid the man the full amount. They thought perhaps this was to cover part of the labor that was to be done in the future. When it came time to call the man back to do the next part of his work, it took several phone calls to get him to come. He again held up the progress of other workers, but finally he came, did his job as he worked very slowly, and the other workers managed to work around him. During this time, the minister of the church was surprised to find out from the man that he was a teacher of a Sunday school class. When it came time to call the man back a third time and get him to do his work so that finishing touches could be put on the building, he was very slow about responding. The church officials called him several times, and each time he promised he'd be there the next day. Getting near to the scheduled date that the building was to be used, the officials explained the situation to the man again, and he promised them he would be finished so that they could move in as scheduled. He came to the building, worked a short time, and left. Finally, in desperation, the church officials called another man to finish the job. They postponed their date of occupation of the building, since it was apparent that the inefficiency of the first man meant the building could not be occupied on the scheduled date. Now, the second man who came to do the work evidently didn't know much about the Bible, didn't teach a Sunday school class, cussed nearly as much as a sailor, and smoked like a garbage pit. But he came promptly when he was called. He worked quickly and efficiently, stayed overtime to speed the progress, and presented the church with a very reasonable bill. A week after the scheduled date, the building was occupied. The first man happened upon the job just prior to occupation, saw what the other man had done, what he'd been hired to do, went home, and sent the church another bill in an amount far more than that agreed upon. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does. That's what the Galilean said. Now I have a question for you to ponder, and it's this. Which one of these fellows came nearer to living what the Galilean taught?
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Back. And folks, I'll tell you something. When this stuff starts to get into the military, I mean, and right now, look, you know who they're talking about bringing into the military to advise the military on, on purging itself, right, of all of these right-wing influences. You know who they're bringing in or planning to bring in? We'll see whether they actually follow it through. The Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center. They're back. Yep. I mean, one of the most hateful groups in our country in terms of hating Christians, hating conservatives, the Southern Poverty Law Center. that they're the ones who deemed us a hate group. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, any Bible-believing church, from their perspective, is a hate group. I mean, imagine that. That's who they're planning, proposing to use. Now, some conservative groups have been proposed, but at the same time, they're debunking them because they might have been associated with Donald Trump. They might have defended people who wouldn't provide services to gay people. They're disqualified. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, oh, they're just what we need. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to start taking your calls here. So we've got some open lines, and feel free to go ahead and call in. 888-589-8840. That's what's happening in our military, and that ought to disturb all of us. Because if the military gets polluted with this craziness, our ability to defend ourselves is severely weakened, if anything's left at all. Because they're going to turn our country and our people into a bunch of, our military people, into a bunch of America-hating rubes, which is exactly what the left tries to do. I mean, they try to turn anybody they get a hold of. That's what the colleges and universities have done. That's what the entertainment culture tries to do. Expressing love for America is passé. It really is. They, you know, that's an indication that something's wrong with you. You love this country? Oh, what's wrong with you? And they got the Southern Poverty Law Center coming in to help our military figure out how to... Oh, brother. I mean, my goodness gracious, folks. That's disturbing. That's disturbing. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure you all saw that this one, I think, Lieutenant Colonel got demoted because he had said that Black Lives Matter was divisive and was counter to the military's cohesion and unity and sense of mission. Duh. Oh, and he got really pounded for that. Well, they technically, oh, well, you don't have a right to make public pronouncements. And look, I will leave it to the military as long as that stuff is evenly enforced. But we know it's not, because he made clear, if you're a leftist and you're expressing all kinds of crazy stuff, support for transgenderism and all that, that's fine. But if you dare speak up against any of this stuff, oh, you're violating good order in the military. The Air Force Academy. The Air Force Academy, folks, one of the most prestigious schools in the country, has a new transgender working group that claims now that if you don't support the transgender agenda, then you are a hater, you are a bigot, and you need to be retrained out of that. That's what this new administration, look, on top of all the crises, okay, on top of all the craziness that is erupting in our country and around the world, behind the scenes, they're pushing this radical, amoral, ungodly, anti-Christian, anti-American agenda to try to poison even the next generation, because most of the people joining the military are younger people, to poison them. You know, folks, I don't know whether you all heard me say this, but do you know France fell in 6 weeks? And my reading of history has told me, and historians have made this point, France fell because they had spent a generation telling their children how bad France was, and that France was a horrible nation and did not deserve to be fought for. In effect, undermining the morale of the people. And that's exactly what's going on in the United States of America today. So communist China can sweep in here and just basically pick us dry? I have to wonder whether either consciously or on some subconscious level, they think, yeah, well, we know we'd be better off under a totalitarian system. In fact, people have said that. Bernie Sanders had one guy say, of course we've got to put people in concentration camps. We got to re-educate these Nazis. So it may sound far-fetched, but they're saying this kind of crazy stuff out of their own mouths. And you know, who was it? I think Ronald Reagan said, never be afraid to see what you see. But I can't remember who it was who said, you know, when your enemy says they want to harm you, believe them. Well, you don't have to tell me twice. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to your calls. You've been very patient. Let's go to Ron in West Virginia. Ron, welcome.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm blessed, Ron. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed and the weather's great.
Good. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, just speaking along the lines of what you were saying, a remark that was made in the first presidential press conference. He was, I can't remember the actual question, but he was asked something concerning the Republican Party. And his answer was, I'm not sure if in 4 years the Republican Party will still exist.
Yep. Yep. He sure did.
That was straight from El Presidente's mouth.
Yep. Which Ron tells you, they want a one-party state. That's what they want.
And
that's what they want. It is. It really is. It's disturbing. And here again, Ron, thank you for the call, by the way. Let me try to get another one in. It just goes to show they don't really respect the American system. That's just, they don't want open debate. They want to dominate. Okay, let's go to Vicki in Ohio. Vicki, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Blessings to you for all that you do.
Thank you.
And my comment is basically along the same lines when you were talking about France and how easily they fell. Well, during, you know, of course, if you know history, during World War II, the Nazis, of course, completely marginalized the Jewish population through propaganda, through turning that people group into the enemy. And that is exactly, the United States is following that exact same course when it comes to true followers of Christ. Because you have a lot of Christians out there, but there are few followers of Jesus Christ that are Bible-believing Christians. And it's very sad to see our wonderful country that they're trying to destroy.
Amen, Vicki. You you said that about as eloquently as I've heard it said. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, this is different. It's not different. It is exactly the same thing. They're trying to racialize and demonize Christianity, and particularly Americans of European ancestry. They're basically trying to say that Christianity is nothing but a tool of white supremacy. How long does that go on before you're basically justifying violence against people? Now, here again, you all have heard me say, I'm not advocating violence. I don't want violence. I don't want to see a civil war in our country. I don't want to see us hurting each other that way. But I really think that the left is doing everything they can to push us in that direction. And of course, we're not going to let them. But I don't think there's any doubt that that's where they're trying to take us. Thanks for the call, Vicki. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
For the first time in my life, I actually tried to commit suicide.
Vietnam veteran Dave Reaver.
There's 1,000 ways to die. You can take your life in many, many ways, but there's only one way to live, and that's when that hope is restored and renewed in Jesus Christ.
Read how one man's scars became a bridge for him to impact the lives of those wounded in battle. Find Matthew White's article, Scars Speak Louder Than Words, in the May edition of the AFA Journal. Visit afajournal.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Every day they get up,
put on their uniforms, and walk out their doors in order to keep our families safe. They never know what they'll face, but they face it anyway with bravery and determination. There's been so much hatred toward law enforcement lately that we can't emphasize enough just how important it is for us to lift up our local peace officers, to let them know how much we appreciate them for all they do for our communities. That's why Sunday, June 13th has been set aside as a day of prayer for law enforcement. Please help spread the word to your family, your friends, and especially your pastor. You can get more information and suggestions for ways to encourage them at afa.net. The brave men and women who serve and protect our families deserve our respect and our appreciation. The American Family Association supports law enforcement, and we hope you'll join us in showing your support on Sunday, June 13th. Visit afa.net.
For me, the process of a long-term commitment was more one foot in front of the other commitment.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Mark Savage explains how restoring a relationship after infidelity is a day-by-day process.
And my first huge decision was surrender. I had made such a mess, and as a man, we're fixers, and I realized there was not one thing I could do to fix this, which was a beautiful moment for me because it was the moment that God became so real that the only hope I had, which was abundant, was that God would fix this. I spent the whole next year just really working to clean up the mess that I had made as God led me into that situation.
Hear more from Mark today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Speaking of this issue that Vicki just brought up, I'm sure you all have heard, this has been talked about throughout the day today, that Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said that her new policy is she is only going to give interviews to reporters of color, quote unquote, reporters of color, and that she will no longer do interviews with reporters who are quote unquote white. And that she is amazed how the press corps, is dominated by whites and males, and so she's going to just start discriminating now. Just what Vicki was raising. This is because we know. Look, folks, if you're going to start teaching, which is what the left is doing, trying to teach preschoolers, kindergartners, that they are inherently bad and something's wrong with them because of the color of their skin or the family and origin of their family, how is that any different than what slave masters did? And how is that any different than what Hitler did to the Jews? How is it any different? It's not. And they're always pointing the finger at conservatives, calling conservatives racist, because we like to look at people as individuals, not as part of some group, which they didn't have anything to do with. The color of your skin was not your choice. The background of your family was not your choice. But the nature of your character is your choice. And that's what we ought to be focused on. So, yeah, this stuff is crazy, folks. And it's disturbing. It is disturbing because it doesn't lead to a good place if we continue going down this road. 888-589-8840. And you all know, those of you listening to me long enough to know, that when you start telling me you're going to tell some children that they're bad because of the color of their skin, well, you know, you're getting on the fighting side of me. Those children should be protected. Their innocence should be preserved. They should be able to enjoy their lives and not be plied with this bunch of racist garbage that these leftists think they have, arrogantly believe they have the right to tell your children how they ought to think and that there's something inherently wrong with them. I mean, folks, this stuff is, it's monstrous. And by the way, Hitler made moves immediately to take control of Germany's children. So you take that for what it's worth. Let's go to David in Ohio. David, welcome.
Yes, sir. Am I coming through?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Good to have you on.
Thank you. And let me double check, sir, because I'm in Ohio, and I got you on the phone. I just want to double check because I'm enjoying your program so much. You are Bishop E.W. Jackson out of Mississippi?
Well, our network is in Mississippi. I live in Virginia, but yes.
Okay, and the program is called The Awakening?
That's what my radio program is called, The Awakening, yes.
Okay, sir, I just want to commend you on, your clarity here is just, it's like we've been in a bear trap here, us conservatives, for quite a while, but your perspective to me is so fresh, and it just fills a very certain unique void. I wish somehow your voice could be heard nationally. I'm amazed here at the clarity of this. I'll get to my question.
Okay.
And that is, if the left is trying to weed out conservatives of the army, to me that spells clear out here, a little too clear, that they're trying to create a brown shirt army to eventually control everything. And I'm thinking now, God forgive me for saying this, now I do believe that perhaps America, because of her sin level, is under chastisement, as well as the world, for suffering here as God's determination, his reluctant declaration. But everything has to be, listen to the Holy Spirit for what our next move is. But, like I said, though, if they are weeding out conservatives of the army and creating a brown shirt army, would this be time, God forgive me for saying it, for declarations of war and to start to begin to think about bearing arms? I mean, is that a positive? I mean, is that something here we need to consider?
Listen, David, thank you so much for the call and for the question, because, folks, we take all questions here. We don't censor people. Now, look, first of all, we are a national network. So, David, I know you're new to us, but yeah, we've got about 190 stations. I've got a few additional stations that take my program, and I think other talk show hosts have a similar situation. So we're approaching somewhere around 200 stations around the country. In addition to that, you can always download the app, American Family Radio, AFR.net, and you can listen to us anywhere, whether there's a station nearby or not. So we're already a national network. And look, I hear what you're saying. I understand the question. And the polls came out a few months ago that said two-thirds of the American people, two-thirds, believe that we could be in a civil war in the next 5 years. I don't believe that's going to happen, because I believe that God is going to intervene. And I really believe that God has mercy on America, because those of us who love him and love our country have been crying out to him for it. As far as what this could lead to, I don't have any question, because remember, these people they're godless. So they don't even agree with the Declaration of Independence, David. They don't agree with it. They don't think that rights come from God, because they don't believe there is a God. They believe they can be God and they'll dispense rights. Where that leads to, I think, is anybody's guess in terms of what their intentions are. I just don't believe they're ever going to get where they'd like to take us. And so, therefore, there will be no civil war. There'll be an outbreak of civil revival and civil awakening. Praise God. That's why I call this program The Awakening. That's what I'm looking for. Not a war, but an awakening. Thanks for the call, David. Oh, my goodness. You all have been very patient. Let's try to get some more of your calls in. Let's go to Steve in Oklahoma. Steve, welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I truly appreciate it. I'm going to echo David's remarks. I do think that we need to stand up, okay? I pray to God there's no civil war. Our country's been through that before. We don't need to go through that again.
Amen.
But there's other ways to stand up. So Facebook is censoring Christians, right-wing people. And here's the deal. We're not even right-wing. We just believe in this country. So we believe in God. We believe in our freedom. We believe in our military. Why can't we have a faith and freedom book instead of Facebook that Christian views are welcome in? Why can't someone develop that?
Hey, Steve, look, I would welcome that. And I think there have been attempts at it, but you saw what happened with Parler. I think that's why I say we're in an antitrust situation. These companies have got to be broken up, because you saw even Parler, with an independent platform, could not exist without the sufferance of Apple that provided their platform. And when Apple decided to pull them, they were done. I mean, and for all practical purposes, I mean, I hear that they're coming back, but I think it's a slow roll. So we've got to break these companies up. They can't, they simply can't have the power that they have. And I think that would allow better for a faith and freedom book that will allow people a platform to espouse their views without fear that something they say would cause them to be censored. Thanks for the call, David. Let's get to Kayla in Texas. Kayla, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Reverend, you are my favorite man on the radio of all time. I'm telling you, you just fire me up every time I listen to you.
Well, thank you, Kayla.
Couple of things. Yesterday, we went to A&M's graduation. My niece graduated, and no masks were required here in Texas. Praise God.
Praise God.
Secondly, may I just get out there, Reverend, this Saturday from 11 to 3 o'clock here downtown Houston in front of Houston Methodist, the nurse that is suing Houston Methodist for terminating employees if they don't get the vaccine by, I think it's June the 6th or the 7th, she's going to be holding a rally out in front of Houston Methodist from 11 to 3 this Saturday in Houston, Texas. Please come out and support. If y'all are here local, we need to stand up and fight.
Amen. Kayla, thank you so much for the call, Kayla. And I hope you'll have a big crowd out there, because that's exactly what I'm saying. People who want to take the vaccine, God bless you. Take it. Those who don't want to take it should not be forced by the heavy hand of government using, in some cases, these institutions that are going to become their enforcement arm. Let's see. Let's go to Gail in Tennessee. Gail, welcome. Gail, you're on.
Yes, thank you, Bishop. This administration is going to do whatever's necessary to make sure that every one of us, one way or another, will have to take this vaccine. I do not take shingles shot, do not take pneumonia shot, never had a flu shot. Had flu when it was called Hong Kong flu, and I was 19 years old. My husband and I did have COVID last summer. We stayed home, took care of ourselves, and finally started to get some strength back. It's the, as you well know, you and your wife had it, but the fatigue is absolutely the worst part. And I know that probably with them going into the military now to do background checks and see if we're loyal
to their ideology.
This administration. Yep. And they're going to start with the military concerning retirement pay. They're going to, and of course on jobs now, like the nurse just, you know, like she just called in to report in Houston about them forcing you to take it. And I heard on AFR that 40% of our Marines are not going to take it. They've refused to take it, 40% of them.
Wow. Gail, thank you for the call. If that happens, that's going to be very interesting. Let's get one more in. Mary in Texas. Mary, welcome. Mary, you've only got about 30 seconds, but I got you on.
Okay. I was going to echo something that David and Steve said, but let me just say this. You know, God had archangels who had swords. So I'm going to say, you know what our defense is and our victory is? We put the Lord out in front of us, and we persevere, and we stand tall, and no weapon formed against us by this secular government will prosper.
Praise God. Mary, what a note to end on, my dear. You nailed it. Absolutely. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God bless you, Mary. God bless you all. And listen, that's the thing. We do need to fight. We do need to fight, but we got to fight with the fight, the good fight of faith. Okay, that's what we need to be thinking most about, because that's the war that we need to fight, because that's the war that we ultimately win. God bless each and every one of you. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.